Colonel Vole, Dr. Essex, guests, students, and members of our staff. We usually have difficulty in arranging a schedule for each year's convocation. At present, we have no place in this stadium for all the Cal Poly family to meet at one time. We've always had a weather hazard this time of year. This morning, I worried about the fog. At our convocations for the last few years, there were slight diversions as we were competing with the World Series. If there had been a rainy day in New York or Milwaukee during this past week, we'd probably be competing with the World Series again today. And then there's a chance we'll be competing with the Southern Pacific. We nearly always do when events of this kind are held in the stadium or this end of the campus. Let's hope we don't have it today. Next year, we'll probably be housed indoors. If not, we will surely be housed indoors the following year because our new gymnasium under construction, I believe, will hold our entire Cal Poly family. At this time, I want to extend a belated welcome to all the students for the new academic year. I want to particularly welcome the new students. You know, I can tell the new students around this campus. During the last 2 weeks, as I passed various students, about two out of three either looked the other way or looked shy or looked shocked or stunned that I would speak to them. You know, it's a tradition at Cal Poly that we all speak to one another and greet one another and say hello. Although I'm not encouraging some of these strong men out here to be too exuberant with some of these co-eds. A mere simple hello and a greeting, friendly greeting, is, I think, will be sufficient. Now, this convocation is the first opportunity of the year for all of us to assemble as a Cal Poly family. I cannot help but notice that this Cal Poly family is getting larger every year. It's also getting prettier for the last couple of years, thanks to our women students who are entering our group. We are growing. We're used to growing, but the pace is faster than ever before in our history. We are no longer a little college in any sense. Now, this assembly includes not only students, but also faculty and staff, and some distinguished guests, members of the Accreditation Committee of the Northwest Association of Secondary and Higher Education. It is not easy to address my remarks to such a wide-ranging group, but still, we do have a common interest. That common interest is the California State Polytechnic College. We are all linked together by mutual interest in Cal Poly's well-being and future. But we have another link, too, apart from that of Cal Poly as an institution. We are all gravely interested in the education job it performs. The purpose of this convocation is threefold. Literally, it is a commencement for new students, the commencing of a new educational experience. You might say a new life. Secondly, it is a time for conferring of counsel on all students. This does not mean that we will preach to you, but rather we will outline some of the things that will benefit you, a little of the inside information that applies to everyone on the campus. Thirdly, we will tie the present with the past by looking back to see what has made Cal Poly function, what we can expect will happen from here on. We are looking for vision. That reminds me of a definition of vision. It's vision if your guesses about the future prove to be right. If your guesses are wrong, it is not vision, but projection. I want to divide my theme today into three equally important Cal Poly eras. yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Since we all are linked together by this one common interest of Cal Poly, we should know something about its origin and growth and precisely why there is a Cal Poly today. Let's go back to 1903, before you were born and almost before I was born. Cal Poly's first class met in the living room of the president's house with one teacher. That was its humble beginning. Well, we have now come a full circle. Enrollment is so large that there's talk of holding classes in my living room. The college's growth was not revolutionary, but evolutionary. Like Topsy, it just grew. Cal Poly is never a teacher's pet among state educators and had to fight for its place in the educational sun. I am proud to have been in that struggle, although there do not seem to be visible scars on me from that battle. Our main growth for many years was not so much in the physical plant as in the instructional aspects. It took time to develop a pattern of education that would meet the needs of a constantly changing society. As you know, the population of California has doubled every 20 years. And in the early history of Cal Poly, the state was largely agricultural in its economic character. Then during and after the war, the economy became industrial. Society's complexion was changed and occupational needs differed. We had to keep pace. We had to change to meet society's new needs and demands in some areas. So we did. We were flexible. It may interest many of you to know that Cal Poly during the Great Depression almost went out of existence. When I became president in 1933, the nation had hit rock bottom in its business slump, and California had many problems greater than the problems in education. Fortunately, there were some people who had vision and refused to let the college close its doors. I gathered these people around, and we really fought to preserve the college. Would you believe that we were given only $75,000 a year to run the college, and were also given 3 years to prove that Cal Poly was worth saving? Well, if we had been advocating education for a selected few, as some people today advocate in higher education, we would have closed our doors faster than the bankrupt carnival. Our gradually evolving concept came into being, the concept that education was for those who could profit by it and who could apply that education to society's needs. Out of that belief came other ideas that were drastically different. The learn-by-doing approach, for example, development of skills for the hands as well as the head, student projects on the campus, earning while learning, letting students earn their way while contributing to their educational experience. The important thing to remember is that yesterday is Cal Poly's history. We laid the foundation for what is here today. Yesterday, of course, is past. We are more concerned at the moment with the present and the future. But we must not forget that we are largely related to the past, which gave us our roots. Our humble beginning offered us a challenge to look ahead and plan for something solid. Our growing up could not have occurred but for the vision of those who could think ahead and work for something besides the immediate moment. There were times when we stood alone and friendless, and there were times when I was traveling around the state like a circuit rider of the old days to spread the gospel of our ideas. The point I want to emphasize about yesterday is this. We had a goal, a vision, if you please, but we expressed the term in what we call our objectives and our philosophy. We saw in this vision a concrete basis for an educational goal within the framework of the Legislative Founding Act, which established Cal Poly's purpose. These objectives and philosophy developed over a period of many years. A singular aspect of them is that they make Cal Poly different from other state colleges. Here are some of the main different points. Our upside-down system, which starts a student in his major instruction during the freshman year. In this, the curriculum is heavily weighted with major subjects the first 2 years and fewer of them compared to the general education subjects in the last 2 years. Our concept that general education subjects should accompany occupational training is another way in which Cal Poly has been different. Until a year ago or so, few, if any, institutions of higher learning subscribed to our idea, believing instead that general education subjects should precede specialized training. But now, some of the best universities, such as University of California and Stanford, have come around to our way of thinking. One university referred to it as a new approach, although Cal Poly has been practicing it for nearly a quarter of a century. Cal Poly's occupationally centered curricula is still another departure from the practices of most universities and colleges. This idea offers early employability for a student because jobs for which he is preparing are clearly identified and actually influence his curricula at Cal Poly. This educational experience also includes a project system of self-owned or managerial projects operated by students. Other phases of our philosophy and objectives include the learning by doing, the earning while learning concepts. To implement these, the college foundation was set up and operates primarily for one reason, to supplement the student's education. I will quickly enumerate other phases of the Cal Poly program, which has grown historically and which will serve all of you students in providing part of your total educational experience at Cal Poly. Citizenship training. Components of this in your daily college life includes participation in clubs, activities, athletics, and other student ventures. Leadership training, participation in approved college activities, officership in organizations and student body government are some ways in which leadership can be developed. By accepting responsibilities in every phase of your college life, you indicate a willingness to serve, and service is a requirement of leadership. I have touched on Cal Poly objectives and philosophy, but there's one more aspect of it that needs emphasis. That is student-teacher relationship. It is traditional at Cal Poly that the teacher is here for one purpose, to help the student. We have an excellent faculty, one of ability and enthusiasm. They do not live in ivory towers, but are available at all times when a student needs advice and assistance. Teacher advisors are chosen for their record of being close to students and student problems. They don't just give advice, but try to get to at the roots of any problems that affect any student academics' progress. They help solve it with the assistance of counselors, health experts, and deans. It is a job for all when a student needs assistance. It is because of this close kinship of students, teachers and advisors that Cal Poly has a reputation for having an intense interest in the individual student. These things encompassed in the objectives and philosophy of the college constituted vision when they were established. We would be lacking in vision if we did not continue to promote at all times the one main reason for the college's existence, the student's welfare. Today at Cal Poly, these objectives and philosophy, born of vision, are lighting our way. Whatever we have at Cal Poly today is a result of vision yesterday. By the same token, Cal Poly's future will depend upon our vision of today. It is difficult to see ahead in this fast-changing world. Life is becoming more complex and new problems are arising. One immediate result today is the universal criticism of education. Whenever there is criticism of a system generally, each member of the system feels the assault. Cal Poly is not deaf to the confused charges leveled at education. But we know that any stumbling blocks thrown in our way can be removed. Cal Poly has had stumbling blocks in the path before but just use them as stepping stones. This is another way of saying we accepted problems as opportunities and met the challenges. Let me show you one such stumbling block, for example, in the path of engineering schools generally. Today there is an argument as to the proper functions of engineering curricula in colleges. Last week I saw an article called Training for the Future in a leading engineering magazine. It was by James Dieter, Vice President of Engineering for the Chrysler Corporation. He says, perhaps we will need two kinds of engineering schools. One would train up operational and production managers and engineers. Its curriculum would emphasize technique and method. The other kind of engineering school would train engineers for research. This man is certainly not talking about the future for Cal Poly. We have been practicing this type of program for 16 years in engineering and 25 years in our agricultural division. We must have had vision somewhere back there. This is one of the criticisms toward education. Another one concerns education's purpose, whether everyone should be entitled to higher education or not, or whether it should be only for a chosen few who have demonstrated exceptional ability. Needless to repeat, Cal Poly strongly believes that there are different levels of ability. We have proved it by turning out highly successful graduates in an extremely wide range of occupations. A man, for example, who founded and now operates one of the nation's busiest electronics firms. Another who founded an international correspondence schools. Another who operates one of the largest agricultural concerns, and many, many who hold responsible positions in industrial and agricultural fields as well as in responsible community endeavors. It is a matter of record that the leading universities and scientific institutes have accepted Cal Poly graduates in their graduate schools, and their ex-students distinguish themselves in their work. Would you say that these successful Cal Poly people have had only one kind of ability? Certainly not. We are convinced that you can't restrict higher education to a few intellectually elite persons. The recent Rockefeller Report on Higher Education emphatically supports us in this belief, as do other recognized surveys and reports. Alex Dreyer, famous commentator, was right when he pointed out recently that a nation top-heavy with professional people would soon find itself lost in a world that each day becomes more technologically minded. He gives a good example. No group of men is more essential than doctors and dentists, but this nation has no need for 64 million of them. It does need for many kinds of jobs requiring many skills. Today's occupations number over 30,000. We are part of a public education, which means that the public is responsible for a system it wants and pays for. It is recognized in a democracy that the express wants of the people demand mass education to meet the needs of society. Any other definition belittles or omits the hard fact that there are several kinds of intelligence levels and many levels of success. Therefore, we recognize several different kinds of intelligence levels existing in our students, and by design we provide them with the best education possible with our special educational program. We believe with Dr. DuBridge, President of California Institute of Technology and a leader in our national scientific program, when he says that we must educate our people to higher levels than any other society in our history. This means that today's students must be better than those of yesterday. Everything is more competitive, including the scramble to enter college and the contest for jobs upon graduation. I would urge you all to strive for high academic achievement. Good grades, sincere application of your abilities in the classroom, in laboratories, and in the field projects. I urge you to seek excellence in everything you do. Your co-curricular activities, citizenship training, and relations with other students and your teachers. I further urge you to practice good campus citizenship by showing respect for college equipment and physical facilities. This citizenship practice should be evident in every way, even to diligently observing traffic rules, especially now in this period of construction and crowded spaces. I urge you to take full advantage of this priceless opportunity for a college education that is being denied to some, but which you are being offered. I have always been proud of Cal Poly students and have confidence in them. I urge you to look, have insight and vision, and see our problems not as stumbling blocks, but as stepping stones. Now we come to the future of Cal Poly. Right here, I want to say that the state legislature showed vision by providing sound plans for a state building program. This five-year program is largely to make possible more and better facilities for higher education at the state university and the state colleges. Cal Poly anticipates $25 million more if the program of financing is approved by the voters in November. Therefore, it is important that we urge people to vote yes on Proposition 3. The physical expansion of facilities and the extensive construction program now being going on and projected for the future will provide us with more opportunities. We will be able to offer education to more students who deserve it. We'll be able to demonstrate, despite the tremendous enrollment increases, that we are keeping pace with demands for education of those who profit by it in this complex society. These facilities will focus attention on Cal Poly and give us greater recognition of our educational concepts, since more people will be interested and more will participate. But building expansion is not enough. We will need more teachers and better teachers. We will have to provide continual in-training and professional improvement encouragement for faculty and staff to be certain that size does not dilute our concepts and educational beliefs. We will need often to look back on the past and bring us up to date on why Cal Poly exists and for what purpose. We will have to expect inconveniences such as those today caused by our campus building activity and somehow turn these problems into opportunities and challenges. We will have to devise new and better techniques of instruction and methods of learning within our constituted framework. In short, we will have to find vision. I am reminded of some inspirational advice I once heard. If you would have sight, open your eyes. But if you would have vision, open your mind. This time I want to wish each and every one of you a very successful year ahead. Thank you.
This concludes the convocation ceremony this morning. Thank you very much.